Well, we are glad to be back at Tuesday Bible Lunch, and thank you for being present. And, you know, I hope that you have not, you know, been flooded as badly as many have. It's just been an almost, in fact, it's not been almost, it's been an unbelievable thing. I hear people say, I've never seen anything like this. There's never been anything like this. It's the worst flood in the history of the continental United States. I said Sunday that it's the worst flood since the day of Noah. And that's true in the continental United States. But be that as it may, we will get through, and God's people and other people as well are doing everything they can to help. And we're blessed that, we're just blessed. Could I have an amen to that? All right, if you'd open your Bible to page 272, I want us to look today at one of the very wonderful stories in the Old Testament. You know, some of the greatest life lessons that you will ever read actually are in the Old Testament. And it's sad because so many times people just, for whatever reason, they just kind of don't spend much time reading in the Old Testament. It's very interesting what the Bible has to say. In the New Testament, in the book of Romans, in chapter 15, in verse number 4, the Bible says whatever was written before, talking about in the Old Testament, was written for our learning. That's a statement in the New Testament about the Old Testament. In the very next book, in the book of 1 Corinthians, in chapter number 10, the Bible says, and I'll read the verse, now all these things happen, talking about all these things in the Old Testament, as examples and were written for our admonition, is the word the Bible uses. It means encouragement. And so, you know, the Old Testament is not just so God inspired men to write so we would have some sort of historical perspective of things, but that is true. But yet, all these stories in the Old Testament are here to teach us, to encourage us. And as you read these Old Testament stories, you need to understand that. Many things God did that are not included in the Old Testament, but the Holy Spirit chose these things to include to teach us, to help us. Now, one of my favorite Old Testament Bible stories is in 1 Samuel, that's on page 272 where you are, chapter number 30, almost the very end of the book, next to the last chapter. In 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Now, let me give you a brief background so it makes sense, so we don't just go grab a verse, because the verse I'm going to show you in a moment, you've heard this verse endless times. But the exciting thing to me is if you know the context of what these verses refer to, it makes the verses even better. And it's kind of sad to me how I listen to a lot of preaching and they have verses and they're great verses and they're very true in what they say, but there's just no mention of the context at all. And I understand people don't want a long story about background, so I always say brief background. Now, when I say brief background, it will be brief. When John says brief background, it's just going to be the same. It won't matter at all whatsoever. But brief background, here's the deal. If you look back in chapter 27, maybe this is the best way to give a brief background of what we're going to look. In chapter 27, the Bible says in verse 1 that David said in his heart, "Now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul." In other words, Saul's trying to kill David. He said, "There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines." He said, "Man, I got to get out of here. If I go over to the Philistines, Saul won't go there. And Saul will despair of me." That is, he'll give up trying to find me, is what it's meaning. "And to seek me anymore in any part of Israel, so I shall escape out of his hand." And that's exactly what he did. In verse 2, it says, "David arose and went over with 600 men who were with him. And he went over to this king, and they worked out a deal. And the deal was this king gave David and all of his men what you and I would call a city. And we're going to read about this city in chapter number 30. In fact, if you get back with me in chapter number 30, we'll look in verse 1. It says, it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded it and burned it with fire. So here's the deal. This king gave David and his men this, what we would call a town, a city, Ziklag. Now, interestingly, the Bible scholars really can't pinpoint exactly where this place is. They know somewhat where it is, but it's neither here nor neither there. But it was kind of going to be David's base. And what David and his men would do, that was like their headquarters. And during the day, they would go out of Ziklag and they would invade other territories, and they would conquer them, and then they would come back to their headquarters at night. Now, we're about to read this story in chapter number 30. And what happened was, one time when they came back, they found out that their city, this Ziklag, has been absolutely burned. Look in verse 2. Not only that, all the people in it had been taken captive, the women and those who were with them. In other words, all the women and all the little children, they're all taken. And not only that, they plundered the whole place. It says they did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city. And there it was, burned with fire. And their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept. Well, I can imagine why. So would you. So would I. Until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, he had these two wives, and they had also been taken out. And in verse 6, the Bible says, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. That'll get you in discouragement when people thinking about, you'd think it said he was greatly distressed because he had lost his two wives, but it doesn't say that. But I'm sure he was distressed because they had been taken also. Now, why did I get off on that side? David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke about, of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. Now, here comes the little statement that makes this my very favorite story. It says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. You need to remember that one. This is one of these stories in the Bible that you need to know about and you need to remember, because from time to time we all get discouraged for various different reasons. And sometimes, of course, in this case, I've just read all the bad things that have happened, but the fact of the matter is, in your life and in my life, we all experience Ziklags, whatever they may be. In this case, it was a city burned and all the wives and the women and the children and everything plundered. That was David's Ziklag. But, we've really kind of, many have experienced this in Hurricane Harvey. Hurricane Harvey, for many, has been a Ziklag. It would distress me. It would discourage me. John and I were in some homes late Saturday afternoon, some wonderful, wonderful people, and their home is a complete, total loss. I was in one beautiful home, and the insurance adjuster just happened to walk in while we were there, and he just looked around and said, this is a total loss. It's a total loss. He said, I'll write it up, I'll fill out the forms, but this whole place. And you just look at that and seeing people taken out by boats and all these things that we've experienced. And, this flood has been a Ziklag to many people. But that's not the only Ziklag. For David, it was his city. It could be a lot of different things. It could be your health. Some people, that would be their Ziklag. I prayed with a family. I'm mixed up now what day of the week it is. It's Tuesday. Sunday night it was. I prayed with the family Sunday night. And a family member said, pray for our family member. Friday we will find out if the cancer has finally been removed. And if so, we can begin some more treatments. But if not, there'll have to be other decisions made. And I was thinking about that even yesterday and thinking about it early this morning. That's kind of that family's zigzag. Or it could be something or someone you've lost. It could be a lost hope. You know, when you lose hope, that's a bad thing. And that's, of course, one of the devil's great strategies is to destroy our hope. And oftentimes he does it. Our enthusiasm, our heart. That's why I call my little talk today, Hopeful Hearts Are Alive Hearts. If you have a hopeful heart, you have an alive heart. But if you lose hope in your heart, no matter what the zigzag may be, then your heart is not really an alive heart, actually. And the devil knows this, and he does a great many things. Now, in this little story, down in verse 6, it's very interesting to me. There's a great lesson, and the lesson is this. Look at it again. The last thing in the verse says, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now, here's the question. You know, how do we do that? I mean, sometimes that's the only place you're going to be able to strengthen yourself. That word strengthen would be a cousin to the word encouraged. We talk about strengthening our heart. It's talking about encouraging our heart. Well, how do you do that? Well, if you read on in this story, and we'll just look at a verse or two, and I'll just show you what the stuff is. Maybe you go back and read it later. But how did he do that? Well, the first thing he did, he asked God for direction. Look in verse 8. Verse 8. David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" Now, that's this bunch of Amalekites. These Amalekites, they were the most evil people on the face of the earth at this time. A parallel would be ISIS. You know, we've not heard much about ISIS lately, but ISIS is still alive and at work. But the brutality that we've seen, people beheaded, people drowned in cages, the Amalekites, exactly that kind of people. They were horrible people. And they've gone in here and burned this city, taken all the women, all the children, plundered everything. And David is distressed and he's distraught. But he said, "I strengthen myself in the Lord." And that's always what you have to do. You can't find your strength in other people at some point. Now, other people can encourage us, but there's a point where God only can do what God can do to encourage hurting hearts. Now, how do you strengthen yourself in the Lord? Well, the first thing you do, you ask God for direction. That's exactly what David did in verse number 8. And then the second thing you do, you listen to what God tells you to do. Look again in verse 8. Now, the first thing he did, he asked God for direction. David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" Okay, that's a wise thing to do. Ask God for direction. You know, be interested. When we face situations that are difficult, is that where we start? Or do we just kind of get there when we've exhausted all other sources? Well, this is the wise place to start. It's the spiritual place. You ask God for direction. You know, during this whole flood situation, I've never been through anything like it. There's never been anything like it. But that's what we did. We didn't know what to do at the church. And as soon as we could get here with our staff, our ministers, we had a little meeting. I think it was at 3 o'clock the first afternoon that we could get here at all. Still, things were bad. And we began to talk about and ask, what would God have us do? And ask the Lord to tell us what to do. And one thing would fall in place, another thing would fall in place. I mean, there's just so many needs, like what does God want us to do? And I'm sure that's what other groups did. Well, that's just the most recent thing I can think about when I'm trying to encourage myself in the Lord. And then you listen to what God tells you to do. God told him, pursue them. You shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. And if you had time to read this chapter, that's exactly what it is. Amalekites were destroyed, as you read on in this chapter. The third thing you do what God tells you to do. And that's in verses 9 all the way through 17. What David did, he found this Egyptian slave who was a slave to the Amalekites. And all this is in this material. You can read it. And somehow this man had become weakened and sickly, and they just kind of left him. He had no food for days, no water for days. And David and his men found him, and they gave him something to eat and gave him water to drink. And they said, "Do you know where those people are?" He said, "Yeah, I know where they are." And he took them. And, of course, it's very, very exciting. They were out partying and having a big time. And David and his men wiped them out. I mean, literally wiped them out. In fact, if you look in verse 17, it says, David attacked them from the twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. Well, they're cowards. They got out of town rather than be killed. But the point is this, you just do what God tells you to do. God told David in verse number 8, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. A-L-L. And he did exactly, that's exactly what happened. And then what you do, first of all, you ask God for direction. Second, you listen to what God tells you to do. I mean, these are simple things. You're trying to make a decision. You know, I've been trying to make a decision about whether I should trade cars. I've been trying to make it for 2 years. Well, now with so many cars flooded, I'd be afraid to buy a car. Say, well, buy one from another state. Well, we're going to ship them all there. No, they won't know. I just decided to get me a new set of tires. And I thought, well, didn't need to trade cars anyway. But you say, well, you don't surely pray about those kind of things. Well, absolutely. But not enough. We need to seek God's direction in everything we do. God cares about it. We're God's children, and He's our Heavenly Father. Nothing's too small to take to God, and nothing's too big to take to God. And so that's what we do. And then you trust God to give you a new Ziklag. Now, if you look in verses 18 and 19, it says David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. He rescued his two wives. Nothing of theirs was lacking, neither small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Now, I thought about this story early this morning. In fact, I was thinking about this verse, what got me on this. Actually, I had a different Bible study. I think I'll do it next week. It was really a good Bible study. And it was about Hezekiah, about encouragement. And I got up in my study at home extremely early this morning, and I began to pray about this verse over here in 1 Samuel chapter 30, that David strengthened himself in the Lord. And I began to think about all the background of this and all what happened, how this thing worked out. And I thought, this is what we all need to do. Whether we have flood water in our house or not, we all face things in life. Could I have an amen? We do. And the solution is right here. Follow David's example and strengthen yourself in the Lord. And it is a blessed, wonderful thing. Now, let me flip the other side of that coin. Not only do I want to strengthen myself in the Lord, but I want to be a person that God can use to strengthen other people when they're going through their hard time. See, I can't strengthen anybody, no. But I can be a channel, and so can you, through which God can use you, use all of us, to encourage other people in various different ways. That's been the exciting thing to me about all the volunteers. Even the students have been out of school. They've been ripping out carpet. I guarantee the adults have missed their help today. Those kids just thought ripping out carpet was the greatest fun they'd ever had. I hope they didn't get to like it and go to ripping out carpet that's not wet. But they just went wild over doing these kind of things and helping the people. And really what they were, they were a channel that God used. And so many adults have been that. And we can all do that. It'll be different. We are all different. We all have different gifts. But God made you to be you, and the fact of the matter is, if you first will strengthen yourself in the Lord, I mean, if you're not strengthened in the Lord, you're sure not going to be a vessel that's going to strengthen anybody else in the Lord. And you can do that with your words and your actions and your example. It can be a channel of encouragement. You know, I was in one of our members' homes. I alluded to this Sunday in my sermon. I was in one of the members' homes late Saturday. John was with me. And they were telling me about, like, what they were doing in the house when the water began to come in, house total loss. And the man said, "Pastor, when I realized that the house was going to flood and there was nothing that I could do, I just said to my wife, it's going to flood and it's just out of our control. We've done all we could do." And he said, "I just felt like at that moment that I just kind of turned it over to God." And he said, "This won't make sense to you maybe, but I just had a tremendous peace come over me." Now, not knowing who that person is, see, I know exactly who that person is. I've been through some other zigzags with that family, some very hard things. But that family has just remained faithful. And when we left the home, the whole street's in such a mess, you can't even drive your car up the street. We had to park a couple of blocks away and walk. I mean, everybody's belongings is just out on the side. But we were walking back to our car, and I thought, you know, John and I went to that home to encourage them best we could. And actually, I guess we went there to kind of be a vessel that would encourage them. And the truth is, they encouraged us. And so I want to encourage you today, not just about floods, but every day we are around people that are going through things. And we may never know what those things are. You can figure out they're going through something just by their disposition, you know. I mean, it's one thing to have a bad morning. It's another thing just to be an unhappy person. But here's the deal. If we'll just strengthen ourselves in the Lord, we can be a vessel that will encourage others in a very, very real way. And Father, that's what I pray. The flood is a zigzag, but there are so many other things beside floods that invade our lives, come our way, and we can do whatever we want to do, but God, the solution is to strengthen ourselves in our God. And I pray today for each of us in the room. God, probably all of us have certain needs. Our family have needs. I mean, we're human. We do have needs. And there really is, God, an encouragement when we just ask you, listen to you, obey what you say, just do what you say, and trust you with the outcome. What we find is, out there at some point, it all is even better than we learn from our experiences. God, bless those today that are going through a hard time. And Father God, help us this week, next week, and weeks to come. Help us just keep plugging away, doing everything we can to help people, but also being a channel that can encourage people, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.